Good evening and welcome to the April edition of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Allie Lightfoot and I'm here tonight with District 1 Commissioner Doug Atchley. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Allie.
So the commissioners met with U.S. Representative Scott Tipton in Delta in March, and I wanted to talk a little bit about a few of the things that were discussed. One issue brought up was the Federal Payment in Lieu of Taxes Program, or PILT. This federal payment is intended to offset losses in property taxes due to non-taxable federal lands within the county. And because in Delta County, 56% of the land is federal and therefore not taxable, Representative Tipton said PILT payment should be an obligation of the federal government to this county, and local entities should be able to count on that revenue. But PILT payments are not always fully funded. So what does this mean for the county? How much money have we been able to count on in the past, and how could that change in the future? And
Well, therein lies the problem. We can't count on anything the way it's currently being funded, and it varies widely from year to year. For example, in 2014, the county received $778,000 in PILT. So when you do your next year's budget, since it's funded, has been funded year to year, we really don't know what to budget. And so current administrators, past administrator, past Board of County Commissioners, and the current board have always tried to budget very conservatively, realizing that we may or may not get that money. So for 2015, we, as I alluded or said, we received $778,000 in 2014. We budgeted $300,000 this year, not even knowing if that would be funded or not. So the discussion was, Congressman Tipton, centered around some certainty of what that number would be year after year after year. And the problem in Washington that I see, and I think many people agree with, is this is a Western United States problem because there's not a lot of federal land east of the Mississippi. So the representatives and senators from those areas say, well, you know, they don't really understand what we're talking about. But we have 56% of our land in Delta County that's either primarily Forest Service or Bureau of Land Management, it becomes an issue of how do you compensate for all the things that we do have to do concerning those lands, and they're important for multi-use activities that occur on those lands, and we want to make sure that we get some kind of revenue from that based on the expenses that we have in trying to maintain those. For example, roads would be one thing that's very costly, that we have roads going to all those areas.
So was he committing to work on that?
Sure. He understands that problem, as do many Western senators and congressmen. And the number in Delta County, 56%, is lower than some of our neighbors to the north and to the south, i.e. Mesa County and Montrose County. Their numbers are even higher than that. I can't tell you the specific number, but I think it's in the 70%. For both of those counties, and they face the same issues that we face, not knowing year to year what those dollars will be. So it makes trying to do a budget very, very difficult.
Another topic of discussion with Tipton was broadband. EagleNet, a federally funded alliance that was expected to deliver broadband throughout rural Colorado, has not made its way out here. In the meantime, DMEA and Delta County Economic Development have pursued other avenues to upgrade our internet service here. Tipton said he's looking for answers as to why EagleNet overbuilt existing networks in places like Cherry Creek in Denver, but truly underserved communities have been ignored. Why do you think we're being ignored? And if this is a federally funded program, what can we, I guess, do to get them to serve underserved communities?
Well, my comments will not really reflect on what EagleNet did or didn't do as opposed to what they were supposed to do. I would say that I think the intent was to serve underserved areas, if I can use that doubly. which didn't happen. So based on that, Delta County, working along with DMEA and Region 10, the city of Delta, probably the city of Montrose, and inviting the other cities within Delta County, Region 10 is going to apply for a $5 million grant from DOLA, the Department of Local Affairs, State of Colorado. There was $20 million made available for April 1st and August 1st. And so Region 10 and Delta County Economic Development has worked very hard to put together the pieces to be able to submit this grant. And what the grant would do, along with DMEA's commitment and the county and the other entities that I've mentioned, would be to try to tap into the fiber that runs west of Delta along the gas line out there and the power line out there, which has fiber on it right now, but it's not being accessed by Delta County. This would build the middle mile portion of broadband to governmental entities or quasi-governmental entities. It's not the last mile, it's the middle mile. And what that would do, and I think it's very important, it would give upgraded service to entities like the hospital, like the schools throughout the county, and other entities that are governmental entities, such as another important entity would be the library or libraries. We have a whole library system in Delta County. And they have internet access now, but what this would do is hopefully reduce their cost. And why companies like CenturyLink or whoever does not provide broadband to areas like Delta County, and particularly in my own case, I'm a CenturyLink customer. I live 3 miles west of Delta, and I call CenturyLink on a regular basis asking them when I can sign up for, you know, the services that you see them advertise on TV, and it's not available. The reason it's not available, and this, I'm not an expert here, but it's an economic one. When you can serve an area like Cherry Creek or a dense populated area, it makes it lucrative and financially incentivized for people to be able to provide those service. No one was willing to build middle mile to Delta County. And so this effort is to get it to the governmental entities, I'm losing the term here, but a neutral site where then if a company would come along and would like to serve the last mile, a lot of that expense in providing it to the carrier neutral site will have already been taken care of. And it's important for multiple reasons, but the first one is the hospital. It's an important entity in Delta County that we all rely on. We hope we don't have to rely on it, but when we do, it needs to be there. And the second one, as I alluded to, are the schools. And so much of the learning anymore is done by computers. We have testing, whether you agree with it or whether you don't agree with it. I was told in one test, and I don't know which one, I can't keep track, that one student had to start over 10 times to take the test, and that's because of the internet speed. And to me, that's not really conducive to learning. And then the final reason is, although Senate Bill 152 precludes governments from funding the last mile of internet service, if we don't start, we've talked about economic development forever, if we don't start trying to get broadband here, having been in private business and worked for a private business, speed is everything in the internet. And so companies tend to locate where they can have speed for primarily data transmission, both uploading and downloading. So that's what's happened since Congressman Tipton was here.
Wow, that's a lot. He was just here in March.
And whether Region 10 will be successful in a $5 million grant, I don't know, but hopefully we'll get at least some of that. And Delta County's commitment to that is a a fiduciary signer on that, our commitment is sizable, but would be reduced if the whole $5 million is not awarded to Region 10, who is serving as the financial intermediary here.
Okay.
So that's a long answer to a short question, but there's been a lot of activity since then.
Yeah, there sure has. The town of Delta is in your district, District 1, and there was an article in the DCI that was talking about how thefts are up in both the city of Delta and some of the unincorporated areas of Delta County. And Delta's police chief, Robert Thomas, reports that burglars seem mostly interested in cash, leaving behind firearms, laptops, and other electronics. And he also believes that this increase is tied to drug use, and he thinks that we have a meth problem that is getting worse. Can you talk about why you think meth-related crimes are going up, or if you think they are, and what the county is doing to mitigate this or work with different organizations to try to...
Well, I'm not the expert in this. The sheriff probably knows more about this than I would, but he has indicated to the commissioners that the use of meth and those type of drugs is on the increase. And I think the reason, and here again I'm not the expert, is because it can be so addictive and people, you know, use it and then they want to use it again. And it can spread very quickly. And the sheriff would say, I think if he were here, that some of the burglaries that you're seeing is tied to trying to get cash to buy it. And so we have a group in Delta County called Meth-Free Delta County or Drug-Free Delta County. They primarily work with meth, but it's been an ongoing problem. I'm not sure that it's surged more recently, more than it has been in the last few years, but it is a problem. And it's not just Delta County. It's almost everywhere. So,
do you work with Drug Free Delta County or support that group in any way?
Yeah, we have. We helped get it started, and now they're more so out on their own, trying to do education and that sort of thing about the what could possibly happen with the use of meth. And we see it some through our Department of Social Services and how it can disrupt families and cause additional social costs that the average person may not be or see. Mm-hmm. But it is a problem.
Sheriff McKee, and that's a Delta County sheriff, is part of a lawsuit asking a federal court to rule on whether Colorado's Amendment 64 legalizing recreational marijuana violates federal law. And McKee says he struggles with the conflict between Colorado's Amendment 64 and the Federal Controlled Substance Act and feels that it puts federal and local law enforcement in a conundrum. How do you feel about the county sheriff taking part in this lawsuit, and do you feel it's a conundrum?
The sheriff's office is an elected office. So the commissioners, what we do review is the sheriff's budget along with every other elected office in the county. So our oversight is primarily from a financial situation. As the sheriff explained it to us, enforcement, from his point of view, has been a problem and is continuing to be a problem, that he would like to see this thing resolved. Amendment 64, constitutional amendment that passed in the state of Colorado, which is in conflict with federal law. The federal authorities have really not done anything in Colorado. A few isolated instances. But there is a conflict now in the law, and it's a state's rights versus a federal right thing. Normally, in most circumstances, I think local government or state government believes in state's right on issues other than marijuana, which now all of a sudden you see a flip where we're saying there's a violation of federal law. In a perfect world, those two laws would be synced together one way or the other or come to some kind of resolution. And I think that's really what the sheriff is trying to move to the courts to try to get some kind of resolution. And in this lawsuit, the county is not funding the lawsuit. And so we're kind of, an observer just like everybody else.
Right. But McKee has no obligation to uphold federal law in regards to marijuana. So,
no, that's his call of what he wants to do. But where, as explained to the commissioners, where he thinks there's a law that's been violated, the county or the state would have to go it alone. The federal government at this point does not seem to want to be involved with it, period. And so if you have no help from some of the federal agencies, why is that burden totally on the county? That's the question that's being asked.
Mm. So this is your second term. What is the most important issue to you and the biggest challenge we face here? And what specific things are the commissioners doing since you've been there to create a sustainable economy? What do you think are some of the main things you've done?
Well, you've hit on a subject that was my first term major thought process, and it still is in the second term, and that is jobs. Everyone that talks to me wants to talk about job opportunities in Western Colorado. And the economy for the U.S. and for Colorado really went into a recession, some would call it a depression, in 2008, about the time I started being a commissioner, a little after that. Western Colorado historically has been the last to go in a recession and the last to come out. And that so far is playing out again. If you read or watch TV, the Colorado economy is doing very well. But if you look, it's actually the I-25 corridor that's doing very well. Eastern Colorado, Western Colorado are not enjoying that surge yet. And as an example, I see last year, Denver residential real estate went up 8%. We've not seen that in Western Colorado anywhere that I'm aware of, maybe not even in the resort towns. So jobs, that's the main issue. And we talked about this earlier, with 56% of our landmass in federal property, either Forest Service or BLM or whatever, we need to embrace a diverse economy, not excluding anyone. And we have some segments that are doing very well, others that are not doing so well. And so I've said we don't want to discriminate, for example, about what private enterprise wants to do what to stimulate our economy. If they're creating jobs, let's try to support them. And that's what the majority of my constituents tell me, is they want an opportunity for themselves, but also opportunities for their children to live here. And there's a lot of people that would like to live here, but they can't figure out how to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the broad gamut of everything that we can do. We're diverse, but we could be even more diverse, and we could expand what we already have. And a good example of that will be coming is we have two national conservation areas that one is in place and one will become in place here in the next year or so, with a final draft release of what's going to happen out there. But it provides a wonderful aspect for recreation that people are looking for nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
To utilize those type of properties. And so the planning process continues of how we can accommodate that industry, for example, and still maintain the other multi-use industries that use those type of properties, because everyone in the county uses them one way or the other.
In regards to supporting recreational industries, there's another recreational industry that I think a lot of people have asked me to ask you about, and that is recreational marijuana, because the commissioners have stated mostly that they want to wait to see how things play out in the rest of the state before making commitments to developing that industry here. But the state actually seems to be doing well with legal cannabis sales. And like you said, it's over more happening on the Front Range. But 18,000 jobs were created in the cannabis industry. Colorado is leading the country in economic recovery in some reports. Tourism has increased, and a lot of it is due to sort of pot tourism. Ski resorts had a good year. Some people attribute that also to the recreational marijuana. And a lot of residents here feel we're missing out by not cashing in on that, especially because we're one of the poorest counties in Colorado, while we have the land and the people that want to produce this cash crop. So what would it, do you think it would take for you all to feel good about developing a marijuana industry here?
Well, we've said no early on.
Yeah.
And the whole recreational marijuana industry is still sorting itself out. And it's not clear to us, or at least to me at this point in time, what we really have here. And so we would like to have it be more clear. I know other counties have moved ahead. Some have, some haven't. And even when counties get together, we can't all agree on what the total outcome of this thing should be. So at this point, we've continued to say, no, we're not going to look at it until we get a more clear picture.
Is it a clear picture on how the attitude about it, or because it is pretty clearly making money for the state?
It appears that way, but what we haven't seen, I guess, or at least I haven't seen, is what the cost is on the back end of it, because there's clearly a cost. We're not sure what that is yet. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not best to be upfront on something and let someone else do the experimental, get the bugs worked out, so forth. So our position, we've not really talked about it formally, but we've not changed our stance at this point.
I've been speaking with District 1 Delta County Commissioner Doug Atchley, and you've been listening to the Delta County Commissioner's Report on Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.